This is the time that we set aside every week to do a Made in Michigan Monday feature where we highlight a Michigan product or company or organization. And there's nothing more iconic in Port Huron, I don't think, than the museum properties, which include the Carnegie Center, which is reopened now. Joining us right now from the Port Huron Museum, Andrew Kircher. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Congratulations on getting things reopened. I know it was a rough few months. Tell us what the new normal is at the Port Huron Museums.
Sure. Well, you're exactly right. It was a rough couple of months, like so many small businesses and nonprofits. You know, we were forced to close right in early March and have been until just last week. But unfortunately, like some, you know, small businesses, we couldn't really do, you know, curbside pickup of a historical artifact or a walking tour. So we're really excited to be open and be able to offer those in-person tours of our four sites. So in a lot of ways, it's not too different from years past. You know, we've made a few changes just for safety and following, you know, best practices. We're working with the St. Clair County Health Department. So as a result, we do have some rules and regulations about maintaining social distance, and it really does make a lot of sense at our sites, especially when you consider at places like the Huron Lightship or the Fort Gratiot Lighthouse. They're very, very small. So we are requiring visitors to wear a mask. There's really no way to maintain any kind of social distance when you're at the top of the lighthouse, for instance, or down in the bowels of the Huron Lightship. But other than that, the only other big change is actually our hours. We have a little bit of a reduced hour load as we're working to get back onto our feet. So we're available from 12 to 4 Wednesday through Sunday. So all our sites on the same hours, a little bit less than our summers, but we're kind of playing it by ear. As I think everybody knows, in these times it pays to be flexible. So we'll be able to update those, you know, as the situation changes. But this last week, we were really excited to see a lot of people in at the sites.
Well, and I suspect that you're going to see a lot of people this summer, Andrew, because there, I mean, I hate to say because there's nothing else to do, but I mean, there are so few options for people. Everybody really wants to sort of connect with the community, and what better way to do that than the museum properties, which are just really iconic, full of history, and a lot of fun to visit.
Well, yeah, and I think we're going to get a lot of local visitors. You know, it's kind of anecdotal, but we noticed in summers past that a lot of our visitors tend to come from somewhere else. You know, we got people from all over the world. It's always true. People forget what they have in their own backyard. We didn't get as many local visitors as we did, you know, people from the Detroit area or even international travelers. We had people from dozens of countries last year. Well, obviously, we're not having a whole lot of international travel. So I think a lot of people, as they look at their summer, they think about what they're going to do for some form of enjoyment. That they're going to have more, you know, staycations. They're going to be staying here in town, looking to see what we have. And so that's why, you know, I think the museums are going to see us, like, in those visits from people right here in the Blue Water area. And I think that they're going to be a little surprised when they come back and they realize how cool of a place they have right here in their own backyard.
Well, and let's talk about each of these sites that you have, starting with the Carnegie Center, which if somebody hasn't visited there in a long time, they're going to be really surprised, I think, when they see what it looks like. What a great historic building with some recent renovations.
Yes, we did renovations about 2 years ago on the Carnegie Center. Of course, the Carnegie Center started its life as a library. I'm always a little surprised, even though, you know, I'm a historian, but the number of people that I meet here in town say, oh, you work at the library. So, well, it hasn't been a library in 50 years, but a lot of people remember it as the local library. But, yeah, we've had this kind of massive renovation this last winter. We got started with a pretty major inventory program to look at all of the artifacts that are being stored there and organize them in a way that's helpful for us for new exhibits. Right now, like the exhibit we have, it's stayed a little bit longer than we initially anticipated. Is about diving for answers, looking at the wrecks, the shipwrecks of the storm of 1913. But there's quite a lot at the Carnegie Center. It's kind of a general site for Blue Water area history. And You know, we're not exactly 100% sure on our plans for future exhibits. Again, kind of the best laid plans were all, you know, thrown out the window. But we do have rotating exhibits that come in the Carnegie Center. So when people come and visit, they see what a cool space it is. They know there's more to come there. I think that is the least visited of our sites, just because it's a little more out of the way. You know, it's inland. The other three sites are all right within walking distance, right on the water. And when people think about Port Huron, the Blue Water area, they, of course, are thinking about the water. So,
and the Huron Lightship, which is such an iconic property, we see it all the time. We drive by it all the time. I think most people around here have been inside it at one time or another. But it's another one of those great pieces of history that we're so lucky to have here.
Well, you also hear it all the time. You know, what's one of my favorite sounds of summer is when we're open for tours, when we have our docents on board. We'd like to blow a nice Great Lakes salute to any of the freighters that go by. And anybody who's here knows just how much traffic we have on the lakes. You know, that's another case of I'm really surprised when I talk to a lot of local people, the number of people who might say, well, I didn't realize we could go on board. You know, I always saw it there, viewed it more as like a sculpture or a statue. I didn't realize it was open for tours. And, you know, it has been since 1972. And we recently worked last summer doing work to preserve it there. Now, it's not as fun as the work we did at the Carnegie Center, working on exhibits and the building, but it's just as important. You know, with this high water level, a lot of listeners might remember the work that the city and some private groups like the Atchison Foundation came together to help build up that seawall, protecting the water from washing everything from the Huron around. But the Huron's pretty safe and stable now, so that's another one of our great sites. And you can actually see the Edison Depot, which is our third site, right from the bow of the Huron.
I'm always amazed, Andrew, that the... No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, just the Edison Depot right up there, right underneath the bridge, right? An easy walk. A lot of people like to visit both of those at the same time because it's a 10-minute walk right on that boardwalk. It's what people love to do.
That depot, it always amazes me that it has stayed there. It never moved. It's been there since Thomas Edison was a boy. And you think about all the things that have happened on that property. You know, a cement plant was built and torn down, and the rubble laid there for a long time. And that whole time, that depot stayed there. Now it's a really nice tribute to Thomas Edison.
Yeah, it is a miracle of historic preservation. It's not often you see those. In fact, that train station in particular is pretty unique as a train station. Even if it didn't have any connection to Thomas Edison, it would be a really cool site. Most of the train depots were typically built out of brick because there's a pretty high risk of fire when you've got these steam locomotives burning hot coals or sometimes wood. But, of course, the Thumb area here, we had so much wood that they weren't going to use brick for a building material. So it's this gorgeous wood depot. It's been there since before the Civil War. And, of course, having the fact that a young Tom Edison worked there, you know, spent his formative years here, really got interested in technology, it's just pretty amazing. A lot of people are kind of stunned when we tell them, like, oh, no, this is the exact same building, the exact same spot. So when you walk in those doors and you're standing there at a desk, that's the same spot that Thomas Edison stood in, 150 years ago.
Yeah, just amazing, absolutely. And then, of course, the lighthouse, which is a partnership between St. Clair County and the Friends of the Fort Gratiot Light, which is the fundraising arm, if you will, of that, and the museum, which runs the tours there. What a great local partnership for what I think is really, when you think of Port Huron, symbols of Port Huron. Yes, you've got the Blue Water Bridge, but there's also, I think, right next to it, the lighthouse is just that iconic thing that you think of when you think of Port Huron.
Absolutely. I think not only for just Port Huron, but the county and, frankly, even the state. There's a ton of people who make their way up from Detroit. This is the first lighthouse in more ways than once. The first one that a lot of people are going to come see. It's the easiest one to get to from the Detroit metro area that's going to let you go on a tour, come inside. It's also the first in the state. It's the oldest lighthouse in the state, and obviously Michigan's known for it. We have more lighthouses than any, excuse me, any other state in the country. So the fact that, you know, it's been historically preserved, we're working on the other buildings at the light station to keep them open, and not only keep them open, but interpret them in a historic manner. So we're kind of looking at the 1930s, because a lot of the other buildings besides the tower itself date to the 1930s. And it's really one of the most interesting times in the lighthouse's history. It's when the lighthouse is being transferred from the lighthouse establishment onto the Coast Guard. Obviously, the Blue Water Bridge opens in 1938. It's right there. So there's a lot of interesting things happening at that time. And we do talk about the whole history of the lighthouse, but it's an era that I think maybe a lot of people don't think about or don't connect with the lighthouse. And there's a lot for them to learn, not to mention, you know, honestly, if that's going to not be your best view in the blue up at the top of the lighthouse looking out at the freighters coming by, I don't know what is.
No, absolutely. And you can visit all those in one day, or you could spread them out over the course of the summer. But we're so glad that they are reopened. I think that you are going to get a lot of local visitors, people that maybe haven't visited those sites in a long time, if ever, that are looking for something to do this summer. Port Huron Museum is a great option.
Yeah, you know, one of the other things that a lot of people locally might not realize is actually how affordable these sites are. We have not increased our admission prices or anything like that this summer. We're doing our best to keep them low in these difficult times. But one of the things we debuted last summer was the Huron Experience, which is basically a ticket to all four of the sites. And you don't have to do them all on the same day. It's good for a full year, but a lot of people want to visit them all. For an individual, it's $28. So that's like getting a whole site, you know, for free as opposed to the $10 regular site admission. And for your family, you can take two adults, up to four kids for $65 to four museums. And if you go to a lot of museums, heck, if you even go to, you know, out to the movies, which no one's doing this summer, but you know what a good deal that actually is, what a good value, because you can spend whole days at these sites. And you get all four of them, and it's a whole summer's worth of entertainment. So that's something to definitely for locals to look into. And those you can pick up right at any of the sites. You can go onto our website, phmuseum.org. Just Google Port Huron Museums. It'll come right up, and you can pick that up there as well. Or you can become a member. Museum membership, especially for locals, is a great deal because you can come back to all of our sites as many times as you want. So that's great. You know, you get company who comes in from out of town. You want to show them the sites. Pick up a membership. It's the best way to do it.
And that's money well spent, because that's how the Port Huron Museum stays alive. That's what keeps things going there, right? Keeps the lights on.
Exactly. So we are a nonprofit. That's another thing that maybe some locals might not realize. I sometimes talk to people and they figure, well, we are connected. We do have a partnership, of course, with the city and with the county, but we are a 501c3. So we don't directly receive, you know, tax dollars to pay for these sites or pay for, you know, staff wages or things like that. So we need people coming in the door, renting these sites out. Venue rentals are very popular, things like weddings. The lighthouse is a pretty cool destination for that. But so are all the other sites. People get married on the lightship Huron or in the Carnegie Center. All of those things go directly towards that historic preservation, keeping the lights on, keeping our programs available to the people and the public. So you can feel really good about coming to visit these sites in more ways than one.
Yeah, stuff we're lucky to have here in Port Huron for sure. Andrew, thanks for telling us all about this morning. Glad that you guys are reopened, and hope you see lots of visitors this summer.
I hope so, too. I think we can do it in a pretty safe and responsible way. And I think we're going to be able to share that history with a lot of folks. So I look forward to seeing everyone out there at one of our sites this summer.
Sounds good. Andrew, thanks a lot. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. You too.